Good afternoon, or whatever time you're listening to this. This is episode 21 of Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends, the podcast where I, as always, talk to people who are much more interesting than myself. I'm John today, but John today? Fucked up the intro.
Me too. I'm also John today.
My middle name's John. That doesn't count.
John squared.
John squared, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined today by a fellow Nuriate and London-based comic, Mr. John Maher, who's kindly come up on the promise of a nice cup of tea before he goes and does a gig in the Empire. John, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. And the cup of tea has been nailed already.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll not get banana when we're done. I like to treat my guests right.
Brilliant.
Which is why we're sitting in my kitchen.
I've had two cups of coffee, two cups of tea. I'll be ready to shit myself before the gig. What a dream.
Exactly. Like proper Newry people, we do all of our best conversing in a kitchen.
Yeah, that's where the party is.
So it's like a wake without a dead body.
I like that your flat is basically a kitchen. It is a kitchen.
It is, yeah. I have a sofa in the kitchen. And then I have a shower sleeping.
Yeah. So, I live in London. I live in a fucking shed with 12 people.
For £1,200 a month.
Yeah. Oh, it's a snip.
Rates.
Yeah. It's a snip. Snip at £1,200 a month.
Oh my God. I'm just trying to think of the house you could have for £1,200 a month. Down in Bestwick, where beside my mum's house, they built 200 brand new houses. And there was a family next door to my ma paying £750 a month for a 4-bedroom house. Beautiful brand new house.
Yeah.
They work in Dublin. So it's an hour from Bestwick to Dublin in our home, but for £750 a month in Dublin, you'd have to share a room with someone.
Oh yeah.
Not a house, not a fucking room.
Yeah.
They do room shares there. Is London is that bad?
Man, we live in a flat, not dissimilar to this really. Like, we live in a flat, it's got a decent living room, tiny kitchen, and then two rooms, and it's £2,000 a month before bills. It's nuts.
And how many people's in the house?
Three. So there's me and my missus, and then we have a flatmate.
Good Lord. £2,000 a month?
£2,000 a month, yeah.
You're paying more than the whole cost of this place for the month.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You ever consider moving home?
Yeah, no, I want to run and smash my head against the wall every time I go home. Yeah.
Oh man, so John, you're full-time comic, you're pretty busy, right?
Well, if I lived anywhere other than London, I would be a full-time comic.
Gotcha.
But those £2,000 bills just keep coming, do you know what I mean? So I work 3 days a week doing like consultancy work for nightclubs and stuff.
Cool.
It's incredibly boring, but it lets me gig whenever I want, and it's really cool. Like, I'm on my own time basically. But aside from that, yeah, gigging flat out. And
how are you finding it? How long are you in comedy now?
So coming up in 7 years. So, well, from my first gig, I did my first gig about 7 years ago, but then, like, I think quite a lot of people don't do any gigs. You do one and then you're like, yeah, I did it. And then
no interest.
Don't do any. Yeah. I had loads of interest. Don't do it. I actually lived here at the time. So I went to London, did an open mic, and then came back. And I was like, oh, fuck, I don't know what to do. Then did about 3 or 4 gigs here in Belfast. And just was like, no, I need to gig every night now. So moved back over there.
Fair enough. I think you got a proper taste for it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been over to London a few times, but gigging wise, I haven't done much in the city. I've just sort of when I've already been visiting.
Yeah,
I've been like any gigs in the go and like jumped up at open mics and stuff, and they've been soul destroying.
Oh yeah, oh man, it's like altitude training.
Yeah,
because it is hard work.
Yeah.
That graft at open mics at the start you're not ready for the level of disinterest from anyone and the weird little clicks that there is.
Yeah, no, because I went because I'd never been, and obviously they smelled blood and you had never been. They were like, oh, you can headline. And I was like, this is an open mic. There is no headline. What are you talking about? Which meant you can go last after majority of the audience have fucked off.
Yeah.
So I did a gig to about, I'd say 12 people once. 8 of them were comics, and comics at open mic don't want to give you anything.
No.
Like, it was hurting them whenever they would laugh at a bit, they looked annoyed at themselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, fuck off, that works.
Yeah. You're like, no, this is madness. Oh, man, yeah, it's awful. There was a gig, it's actually closed now, unfortunately. It was a brilliant gig called the Comedy Cafe in Rivington Street in East London. It's like a really famous venue. Loads of people got their start there for first weekends. I think maybe Frankie Boyle, Ed Byrne, all those guys. And whenever I was just getting sort of halfway good, that was still going, they used to do this thing during the week, which was like an open mic competition. So they did like, they might have 15, 16 acts on, And if you got the audience vote, you win. You got to come back the next week and headline, just like you were saying. And when you're starting out, you're like, holy shit, I'm headlining tonight at the Comedy Cafe. Like, you know, there's posters everywhere that famous people are playing. You're like, wow, stars in your eyes, like, I'm going to make it. This is such a good thing. Then you get there and you're watching 5 minutes of the worst comedy that you've ever seen get topped again and again and again and again. And by the time you go on, and there is an audience, they fucking hate you for being there. Like they, and you're just like, it's death. It was death. And the club used to love doing it to people. When you'd come off, you'd be like, man, it was really hard. They'd just be laughing, be like, it's poison chalice, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a poison chalice.
Mickey Bartlett mentioned that in the podcast. He said somebody, he was like, oh my God, I'm headlining the Late Show at the Comedy Store. And they're like, no, no, you're taking the bullet.
Yeah.
Like, what? You're like, you're going on at like 2 a.m. when people would rather a kebab and a fight.
Fuck off, Paddy. Yeah. Can't.
Yeah. Than listen to you. So you're going to have one of the worst days of your fucking life.
Man, the Comedy Store is such a weird place. It's so stressful. Everything about it is stressful because the gig is so big and you're like, you go down, there's fucking pictures of Robin Williams on the stage. Like, and you're going, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing here? Everybody in the green room is on TV. So everybody is somebody that you're like, fuck me, there's that guy, there's that guy, there's that guy. And nobody wants to see you. Nobody wants you to be there.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's awful. Loads of drunk people. Fuck.
I know, because I've said about that, like I do the Farmer Michael and Kathleen tour.
Yeah.
So whenever I'm saying I'm doing this gig, I'm always like, hey, I'm going to be on this week in fucking Kildare. You're not coming to see me, but hopefully you enjoy it.
Yeah.
So sometimes you walk out, people are like, who the fuck? I'm just like, I know, I'm not the guy in the car, but hang on.
No, wait, no, let me, I'm let like, me.
This is a theatre show, so we actually have, it's sort of MC'd and hosted. It's like an old vaudeville show, and like we have the support, and then we'll drop the curtain, and then the headliners will pop out, and that's who you paid to see. So, and thank God it works, because the
audience
are overall nice, we can have a crack with them. And
yeah.
Once you explain them that it's not just going to be 2 hours of what they've seen. It's good.
Yeah.
So, but initially, there's always that initial, is this going to be hard? Is this going to be a death?
What is
But then,
this?
No matter what, you're still in a theater. So there's that nice wee, oh, it's a theater. They're nice enough.
Yeah,
theater. At least it's a good room. And
yeah, it's like, it feels like a show.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, yeah, I'm doing support at the minute for Jarlath Regan
and his tour. Cool.
And we did a couple at the start where I just went on cold open, and that was really hard. And afterwards he was like, I think I'm just going to introduce you and then maybe people will know I brought you. Like,
yeah.
And it's just, it completely changes the game. Once he brings you on, it's like, everyone's like, oh, cool, he is meant to be here.
Yeah, he walks out, quite literally says, hello.
Yeah.
One comment that gets a giggle. And yeah. Then
that's fantastic.
I just brought a mate with me. So please walk on stage. I'll see you guys in a half an hour.
Yeah.
Maher. And you're like, thank God.
Yeah, who likes the podcast?
As opposed to you walking out and they're like, fuck me, you'd think they'd done the sound check before the fucking gig opened, wouldn't you?
Oh,
like,
man.
No, I'm the support.
We did this place in Corby a couple of weeks ago. And they demanded that I do a sound check, right? Sound checks for comedy, I think, is dumb unless you're using
a guitar.
Yeah, or props or whatever. But they made such a fucking big deal out of it. So I get down there early and do the sound check. You just walk up, hello? All right, mate, perfect, yeah. I'm like, okay, cool, great. Get to the show a couple hours later. Jarlath walks up, mic doesn't work.
You're joking, mate?
No, swear to God, they hadn't turned the mic on. Then the woman in the booth's like, oh, I don't really know. And you're like, why did you make me do that?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know how to fucking use the thing.
When it was going to do that anyway.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh.
One of the funniest things I've ever seen on one of the theatre things was I got emailed. Or no, it was when I got to the show, I saw it in the dressing room. And there was a load-in time.
Wow.
And it was like, load-in sound check. And I was like, fuck, I missed all that. I just rocked up.
Yeah.
We're good to go.
Copy and pasted from a band. Like,
yeah, and I'm just like, load in. I don't have my drum kit with me.
What's, yeah. Just
what
walking
are you
in
about?
Carrying a microphone.
Exactly. Not even. I think I had a notebook on me. I was hoping they'd have the microphone.
Yeah.
You know that one when you're rocking to those old gigs and it's like, did you bring a mic? I'm like, that's not the thing.
Yeah. I mean, for those ones then, you're almost worth just turning around and leaving.
I had an amazing, a brilliant Facebook message the other day from a guy who was like, hey man, I was recommended you by another comic, and I was like, no problem. The guy was like, I want to do a gig in this provincial town. I was like, no problem. I was like, what's the venue, dude? How many people do you want on? You know, just a bit of information, because I don't want it to be like a 60th birthday party. Yeah. I'm like, just give me whatever info you have. And he was like, oh, we're going to do this venue, and it's going to be, I want you to do it half an hour. And I was like, yeah, dead on, no problem. I says, here's my price.
Yeah.
And the guy just sent me back a thing saying, I sort of budgeted for what worked out to be half of what I asked for. Right. And he was sort of like, I've just budgeted for that, and there's not much wiggle room. But if any of your fans come, I can give you a commission. Now, this is in a regional town in Derry. And I was like, I remember I was reading it at work, and I turned to one of my co-workers and I was like, this guy doesn't know how commerce works. Yeah. I was like, yeah. No, this is the price of what I would, for I have to get in the car and go there and spend an evening there and do him a bit, make sure they're fucking laughing, and then come back. The guy pretty much just offered me half.
Yeah.
And I really felt like going, I'll do 15 minutes.
I'll take the hit driving up and down the road, and you get half of the stuff.
Yeah.
By the way, I can say hello for 15 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
Just chat. All right, that's my time. Thank you very much.
But I was just like, that's not how this works as well. But maybe have the extra perspective of, because I did music beforehand and because I run shows as well, I'm like, if I offered it to you and you say, if I, like, here's what the gig pays, and you go, yeah, that's the agreement. Or if you say, I want this, and I say, I can't, we'll just get someone else to do it. It's a simple transaction.
Yeah, no, it's easy, yeah.
And I want you to do it, but if you can't or I can't afford you, then maybe later.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I basically just said to the dude, I was like, dude, look, if I'm out of your budget, then best of luck and good luck with the gig.
Here's five people who'll do it.
Yeah, go and book somebody half as funny.
Yeah.
Save yourself a few quid.
Yeah. Yeah, gigs are weird, man.
But we're over here in the much smaller pond. You're over there where people would probably step over your corpse to take a 5 minutes off you.
Oh, it's hilarious. Yeah, oh, fucking hell. It's mad. And bookers, it's really weird. There's definitely that. So people, although in fairness, it's changing. It is changing a little bit now. It does feel like this generation of comedians, maybe who's around at the minute, are not... like the way famously, like Mock the Week, was those guys would literally be talking over each other to get to a punchline. Or I know with one guy was saying he got punched in the leg. He was about to say a punchline and someone punched him in the leg, and he was like, what the flip? And then the guy got the joke in.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's the way it used to be. Now it's not so much. You do get just some weird things, like people won't book two Irish people together. Doesn't matter where it is.
Is that in case you set up a construction company in the half time break?
Like, yeah, I'd say it must be. Yeah, they don't want the immigrant labor back.
Yeah, could you stop plastering that fucking green room?
Yeah, yeah, green room. Fuck, I'd love a green room. That's the other thing. It's exactly. Like when you get into it, you think like it's this showbiz. All the green rooms, bright lights, big city. And then you go, and 9 times out of 10, it's a curtain under the stairs, or
it's a staircase.
It's like, yeah, it's just
waiting on the stairs.
Literally, like Top Secret, which is one of the best clubs in the UK. It's amazing. There's two rooms. I think it does about 450, 500 people a night, and it will be full. Everybody goes there. Like Chappelle will be down. Any big comedian will be there. Seinfeld, everything. And their green room is underneath the stairs. They've pinned a black sheet of... It's not even a curtain. It's just like a black sheet of fabric. And there's a couch that's been there for at least 175 years.
Christ.
And you just go in there and you're like, hey guys. Oh, you're a billionaire. Yeah. And we're all just sat in this fucking shit couch. It's so funny. It was such a good gig.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a lot of...
It's the glamour. I when I was living over in Australia and I lived in Perth, the guys there were really good because there was the comedy scene and then there was corporates. So what was really nice was the guy who got me my first corporate gig was like, I'll give you a hand here. He goes, it's a gig I can't do. I think you're good enough. I think you'll do a good job and it might lead to more work for you. But here's the crack. He's like, among myself and the other, say, 6 or 7 people who do these, this is the base rate.
Yeah.
Don't fuck about it. I was like, cool. And I felt, not that I felt cheeky, but I felt like I had bigger balls asking for the money than I did for getting up and doing comedy. Because I was like, because it's a corporate gig. And you're thinking, oh, this is a lot of money. It's a lot of money to you. It's not a lot of money to the bank you're doing a gig for, or the fucking mining company that are raping the planet's resources. But I'll take $2,000.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, rent's got to be paid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. Like now a lot of it is fairly standardized then. but it's standardized in the club's favor. So, you know, open spot 100, like the, you know, opening 100, 150 quid, middle 100 quid, closed 250. It's kind of, it's not many of them go really above that anymore. Whereas, like, you know, if it's so funny, if you gig with anyone over 40, like over 40, 45, they have these mad stories of the halcyon days of UK comedy.
Oh, of, yeah. Like, of making that exact same amount of money 20 years ago.
No, not even. Like, getting paid to not gig. Like, there was a gig in London that used to get a comedian on call. So, in case another comedian dropped out, they would pay someone 400 quid to not gig and just be around the centre of London so that if it dropped out, you could just be like, we need you to come down, come down. And that was like, but obviously that got ruined because whoever, like, people were just taking other gigs and going, ah, fuck it, they're never going to ring, like.
Yeah, and then they did ring.
Of course they rang. But,
and you're in fucking Kent.
Yeah, and that's it. So it's like, there's places in London, really nice, like Crouch End's quite a fancy place to live, and it's rammed with these comedians that no one, you've never heard of in their 40s because they were getting paid fucking $2,000 a night cash and they all just bought houses in the same place.
I did, the Southport Comedy Festival just outside Blackpool for a guy called Bren Riley. Bren's a fucking brilliant comic, but he's been doing it for 25 years, you know. Mm. And he said himself, he's like, we set up this comedy festival and another one in Chester,
yeah,
to actually make a living from comedy because I've been doing, and he, like, the guy went up to say hello and introduce the set and then and did 2 minutes of just bah, 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 and they were rolling, you know, we were bits before we got up and I was like, I like this guy.
Yeah.
This dude has fucking been through the wars.
Yeah.
And he's quite literally gigged in Afghanistan. So he has been a real war zone. And he was saying, yeah, we set up this, basically to say that we can make a living from comedy because 20 years ago when you're young and you don't give a shite, but now the dude's got 2 kids and
he goes,
I'm doing this because I love it, but I also have to be able to provide for my family.
Yeah.
Because he was saying, he was like, 20 years ago, I was getting £300 for a headliner. In 2020, if I'm headlining, I will get 300 quid.
Yes.
300 quid 20 years ago went a hell of a lot. That would be like getting, I mean, for the inflation of the cost of stuff.
Yeah.
That's like fucking getting £800.
Yeah. No, there's a gig, and it's a really good gig in London at a proper club that I did, like 2 years ago I did it, and it was like 150 quid to middle. And then last year they had me back, and it was 100 quid.
And you're like, you're busier.
What? I was like, wait, these chairs all still seem full, lads. What's going on? Overheads. But to be fair, a lot of it is overheads where, like, people, like the comedy cafe that I mentioned earlier went out of business because the landlord was like, you know what? Your rent's now $200,000 more a year. And nobody can sustain that.
Especially with talking about being anyway artistic. Like, I'm a wee punk rocker. That's what I did before comedy. And like CBGB's, the famous rock club in New York, closed because they couldn't afford the rent.
Yeah.
And if, like, fucking Bruce Springsteen has played there, Television, The Ramones, Rancid, the list of bands that have played in that venue, and you're like, surely there's a bit of pedigree that somebody will save that. No, they opened up a copy of it in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And you can buy a CBGB's t-shirt, but I had a CBGB's t-shirt years ago. That money did not go to that club to keep the fucking place going.
Yeah.
That was just a corporate entity that had bought the branding, and I was like, oh, I thought it was being so punk rock, and I was...
I know
a t-shirt I bought in CD Times in Uri, like, so what can I say?
Well, what's good about London, or about London and England as well, is the different type of gigs that you do. So, like, you can do black rooms, which I imagine is not a big thing here, where it's an urban audience, so totally everybody there, it's a black, it's like the Apollo, like the old Apollo that you would see, like Def Jam.
Oh, I mean, because when you said black room, I was worried you were going to say something racist, but that's okay.
No, well, that's what they are. It's a black circuit. There's a whole completely different circuit from like the mainstream comedians, and these guys kill it, and they get paid. Like, those guys pay a lot, and those gigs are unbelievable. Like, when you do well in a black room, you walk out thinking, I have just changed comedy, I've revolutionized everything. Like, they'll be fucking flipping tables, like screaming, laughing.
Dead comedy jam.
Amazing. It's so good. But if you don't do well, it is death to everything about you, that you can't be hated more. Like, it's amazing. It's just an amazing feeling. Those things are like, I love doing all that kind of different stuff.
Did you... Did you ever get up and try to explain to them that the Irish are the blacks of Europe and see how that goes?
No.
Fuck. Have you ever seen The Commitments? Because if you haven't, you will not get this joke.
I was saying that to Neil Denimer last week. Somebody said it at a gig, and I was like, fuck, man. The Commitments have a lot to answer for. He's like, yeah. No, but what is good is like, because they're saying like a big thing in that comedy is like, where's the Nigerians at? Where's the Ghanaians? And then they just pit them off against each other. So it's an easy win for us, because I'm like, look, guys, that's why you'll never win. You can't get your shit together. Like, we've been fighting them for years. Like, this is how, do you know what I mean? It's like, it's just attrition. You've got to get your shit together and then you'll win. But gold microphones, you never feel so stupid as holding a fucking gold plated microphone.
That's amazing.
It's hilarious, man.
I need a list of bookers off you before you go.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Get a wee week over in London and just be like, where's Darren doing? He doesn't know himself, but he's at the tube station somewhere worried.
Oh, they're always, and they're always amazing names and all, like Versus the World. It's always like somebody versus the world.
I like that.
But yeah, really good. They're great gigs, yeah.
I like, obviously coming from here in Ireland and then moving over to England. And you're opening for Jarlath now, so that is that all over the UK, or are you just sort of
UK, and then it finishes here. So it finishes in Vicar Street on Friday.
Are you doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Never done Vicar Street.
No, well, yeah. I mean, I've only done like a handful of gigs in Ireland total. So, me neither. Busy, but I can't wait. Yeah.
I know that's what I was gonna say, because I think I chatted you previously about, because I obviously had like 2 gigs on at the weekend, but you weren't here.
Yeah. Although I was on the stag do this weekend. Okay. So that's where, that was in Derry and that, which was its own thing. Like.
Lovely. No, the next one's at the end of March. I'm actually, the next McCooey's, I'm not there because I'm on my brother's stag doing Newcastle upon Tyne.
Oh, fuck, man. Newcastle's it's a great spot for stags.
We're gonna try and get this out of the road because he's supposed to be getting married in Croatia, but this fucking corona.
That's exactly the stag I was at, the wedding just had to cancel. He's in Spain. His wedding was in Fuengirola.
So he cancelled the wedding.
What's that? Yeah, because that's like hot spot. Right? Oh, yeah, so nobody that yeah, so like nobody old can go. I've got a dodgy heart, so I can't like probably go. It's fucked.
Fucking asthma. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah,
well,
take your inhaler. I'm sure you'd be grand.
I don't think my flu jab's gonna cover this one. Like, but
I was just in Venice as well. It's so funny. I've been like, and I work in Brighton, so I went from like Venice to Brighton to London to Belfast, and I'm just like 3 days ahead of it all the time. I think I'm the super spreader. Like,
you reckon?
No, I've not been sick. Thank fuck.
I'm gonna bleach that cup and you leave.
Yeah. Just burn it. Just fucking smash it. Just throw it at something. Yeah. Why did I let him in here?
Like a dinner party in a Greek house. Just lovely. But you're doing Empire tonight. So whenever you are coming sort of home to visit and see the folks in the town, do you kind of, you try and book a few bits sort of in and out? Or
I haven't, to be honest, before now. Just because I quite like coming home, just having a couple of days off and not worrying about it.
I suppose if you are gigging so much, like I was saying, one of the hardest things I would think about doing London, because I was chatting to Vittorio.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh yeah, I mean, you can gig like 3 times a night, 4 or 5 times a week. And I was like, that would be great to develop and get better, but is there a burnout point? Ever you're like, fuck comedy? Like,
yeah, for sure. There definitely is, especially those gigs, because they're fucking dog shit. If you can do 4 gigs a night, 5 nights a week, they're not good gigs usually. A couple of them will be good. But to be fair to Vittorio, like, I think he's only been going for 2 years and he's much better than everybody else at his same level over there, especially. Anyway,
we've discussed this before, and maybe it's the sort of, maybe here it's the smaller pond or the sort of tighter community, but I've noticed that when I go to some other places and you can work in different scenes, I'm like, our new kids are better than your new kids, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or just people who, I was gigging with somebody at that open mic in London. They were like, oh yeah, I'm doing it 8 years. And they were fucking horrendous.
Oh, but man, you get people doing, you get people who never leave, and there's hobbyists as well. And there's guys who'll just, you know, there's a lot of mental illness that just hang around open mics.
Yeah.
The trick is to not like be one of them and get the flip out of there. I do think people from here are funnier, like inherently funnier. So you start on a higher base, but what it gives you over there is what I think the biggest difference is the light, because my experience here has been, I mean, most places will just kind of let you do what you want. Like, nobody here in these gigs I've been doing this week has, when I've said, how long do you want me to do? Like, over there, it'll be like 7 minutes or 10 minutes or 20. They're always like, nah, like a loose, like 15-ish, but like kind of feel it yourself. I was like, over there, if you go over, you're not getting booked again. Yeah. So your jokes have to be like hammered, bam, bam, bam. And I think that's a really good place to develop and then get the fuck out of there. And you can bring, you hopefully can be funnier, sharper, and, you know.
Bring the professionalism into the loose arena and make it look, you're like, I'm going to make this look relaxed, but my brain's going a mile a minute.
Yeah, you're worrying, yeah.
Yeah, because I had that as well. I was here for a year before I emigrated, and then I was gigging in Australia. And it was the first time where I was up, I was just up on a stage sort of looking around. Before, it was before the doors even opened, just to be like, it's a fucking pretty big place, you know. A place called the Comedy Lounge in Perth. It's since moved venue to like a purpose-built comedy club, so it's fucking incredible. But the first time I got up, and I was like, I was one of the other comedians coming. He's like, "Well, how's it going?" I was like, "Yeah, good. Just what's that?" He goes, "That's a clock." I goes, "I know it's a clock." I goes, "But it says like 00." He goes, "Oh no, when you say hello, that'll start." And I was like, "Fucking hell!"
Have you ever done Glee in Birmingham? So Glee.
Somebody, is this the red light only you can see, or is this a clock on the floor?
No, the red light only you can see is the Comedy Store in Manchester, and
I've had that in other clubs around the world, but
annoyingly, that one is so funny. So the red light is, your time's up, get the fuck off the stage, like you've done enough. Which isn't, that's fine, I think that's grand. But whenever I did the store for the first time in Manchester, they were like, yeah, the light's up there, and the guy points, and I was like, cool. And then I was like, this is going on forever, and there's no, doesn't seem to be any light. And then I looked up like 3 feet more, and the light was flashing mad. And I was like, oh fuck, and it went off. They were sound, I was like, yeah, you told me it was the wrong place. But no, at Glee in Birmingham, you do a tryout night on there, and it's so bizarre the way that it's set up. They set it up and you're stood in front of a screen, and then the top of that screen is a clock counting backwards from 5 minutes. And the audience can see that clock. Like, you can't see it, but the audience can see it. And it feels like the fucking Grim Reaper just with his hand on your shoulder. Like, with the pressure that you feel, you're like, what happens if we go over? And you're like, oh yeah, it's probably difficult. Like, you won't get booked or something. And you're like, get rid of the fucking clock. Like, nobody needs that. Like, it's such a distraction. Anyway.
That must be like gigging in like an Indiana Jones trap when it's filling with sand and you're standing there going, am I...
Yeah.
When 5 minutes is up, am I like fucking trapped inside the room? It's like the crystal maze.
Oh man. I've done gigs like that as well where you're like...
Do you want to get your teammate out and cost you a crystal? Yeah. Nah, fuck him.
Ooh. Yeah.
Leave him.
Yeah. That's comedians, you know, that have built a new crystal maze. You know, there's a new crystal maze in London. There's one in Manchester as well.
Is there?
Yeah, these comedians got together and were like crowdfunded for an actual thing for like team building, and they are now millionaires.
Yeah. Never to be seen on a comedy stage.
Yeah, never to be seen. Fuck, laughing at you. Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great. I used to love the Crystal Maze. What a fucking show. I'd happily do that, because they had, I think when they brought it back to TV, they had, was it Richard Ayoade was the presenter?
They still do it. Yeah, so that's filmed, and you can go and do that. Like, you can go and do that, Crystal Maze.
Oh, that's not even Channel 4. They've just rented it off the guys who have built what Channel 4 used to own. Yeah, that's fucking insane.
Yeah, they just built it, yeah.
That was like whenever I found out that RTE here in Ireland don't own any of their own cameras.
What?
They just rent all the gear. I was like, that's mental.
I mean, that doesn't make any sense as a business decision. No wonder it's fucked.
Surely you need them. Yeah. What is that, lad? They're like, because obviously they're just saying the technology keeps changing so much. And then who do they sell their stuff to? I was like, I mean, I see your point, but that's still mental.
No, loads of people will buy that. Universities would buy it. Students would buy it. I'd buy a fucking camera. What are they talking about?
Exactly. I will take the camera that used to film the Late Late Show, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you... Well, that's one of the things as well. Obviously, whenever fucking from gigging away, like I've been over in Asia, fucking New Zealand, Australia, Canada. Have you ever actually just sat down with somebody and London's an hour away on plane. Have you ever just said about something that's complete normality and saying, Yuri... And have them look at you like you're fucking insane.
Yeah, my girlfriend's from the Middle East. Like,
yeah,
every day. Every day.
Yeah. Is she ever like, yeah, we still have torch where I'm from? And you're like, these are the RUC days.
Yeah. Yeah. They're fairly westernized now, thankfully, so it's all grand.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I would have that a lot, especially because like living there, it dawned on me how ignorant sort of British people are of any sort of history. that, and not, I don't mean ignorant in like a bad way, I mean like in the truest form. Yeah, they don't, like, I do have a joke about it now that our history books are much thicker than theirs.
Yeah,
like theirs is just a post-it note that says 2 World Wars and 1 World Cup.
Yeah,
like that's it. They don't know any and so I was getting really frustrated because I would mention things and no one would know. Even smart people and intelligent people that you talk to have got no idea. The amount of people who were like, what is this DUP thing? Like, what is this? Whenever that kicked off with Theresa May, they had no clue. So I was like, look, someone needs to tell these people. Someone needs to tell these people what the crack is. And so, like, quite a lot of what I talk about now is like that, is like their history in Northern Ireland, and that makes gigs tasty.
Yeah.
But
we ever, yeah, like the DUP, do you remember UKIP? Yeah, worse.
Yeah, they were based here, UKIP.
Yeah,
yeah, like that's how bad it is. They're like, they came here and they were like, still not the most mental people. Yeah. Like, man, where were you kept? These, like, people don't even believe in dinosaurs.
You're like, that vote's been taken. There's no point in being here, lads.
Yeah, especially after the Brexit stuff. Yeah, man. Their school system's fucked, though. That's the thing. Like, they're not given a good education. The government's fucked them. So they just don't know. They don't know anything.
But what's really a great thing, and it just said, obviously, it was no one will ever educate you enough to overthrow them.
Yeah.
So keep them dumb. Give them fucking, what Bill Hicks used to talk about, the 57 channels. Give them plenty of entertainment and stimulus and tell them to shut up.
Yeah.
That says, like, go away. Stop thinking about stuff.
Yeah. I remember the day after Brexit, I was working and there was a woman who was like managing one of the bars, and she was great, like really sound, really nice girl, super sharp. And we're talking about, I went into the office and one of the lads there goes, man, I'm going to be one of you soon. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, I've applied for an Irish passport. And Gemma, the girl, goes, why? Like, why? And he was like, oh, well, like, my dad's Irish and I want to be able to travel and work abroad and all. And she was like, but we can do that. She had voted for Brexit, this girl. And I was like, no, you just voted to not be able to do that anymore.
You're like, you can still go on your holidays, like.
Yeah, I was like, you just need a visa. You'll need a visa, but you won't be able to work or anything with that.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I don't understand. And I was like, that's what you just, you just did that. Like, you've just made that decision.
Did you say to her, you're like, do you also think there's just going to be 350 million quid in the NHS every week?
Is that absolutely you? They did.
Oh my God.
Absolutely they did.
What was that great one? There's nothing funnier than people who were tricked by a bus.
That's brilliant. Who is that? That's amazing.
I can't remember if that is somebody or word of
is that yours? Like, that's brilliant.
Good. That's not mine. Where the fuck did I see that? Yeah, but yeah, people who were fooled by a bus. So there you go.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I did a gig over outside Sheffield in about October, November time.
Fuck, that's grim country there.
My auntie lives over there, but it was so funny because it was on the Farmer Michael and Kathleen tour. So the guys booked. They're like,
oh, right.
They're like, we were told this venue was in Sheffield. Sheffield's like 15 miles away. But this place is called The Venue. It's beautiful. There's like 3 or 4 venues in this big old hut. And I was just in looking around the bar. And the girl was like, you all right, love? And I was like, what is this place? And she was like, oh, it used to be the social club for the steelworks. Mm-hmm. But it's closed now. And I was like, of course it fucking is. So this old big old factory's there. And then this brand new venue beside it. And I was like, what the fuck? And I was sort of looking around. I was like, what is this all about? She goes, well, that closed down. And then there was no use for the social club. So obviously it used to be the place where 400 people drank. So they turned it into a venue so they could bring investment into the place. And they built up the new venues, the new halls. I was like, this is really nice. And then I looked beside the bar and I saw the EU flag.
Yeah.
And it was an EU-funded project. Yeah. I was like, cool. I get up on stage. I'm hosting the show. And I was like, I'm not really totally sure. I goes, because where I come from, we voted to remain, but we're out because you're out. I was like, what do you think of the Brexit thing here? And this guy just basically went, you need to get it done. That's all he had to say. You need to get it done. And I went, that's all well and good, sir. I said, and then I told him the story about what I'd seen in the bar. And I was like, if you really like this place, I have terrible news for you if this joint ever needs a lick of paint.
Yeah. Man, it's so funny, though.
You'll be fucking doing it yourself.
Yeah. I went down to the protests at Parliament whenever it was kicking off. Because I was like, are these people even real? Like, these Brexit here guys you see in the news. Because, like I have a big problem with the way Northern Irish people are portrayed over there, where it seems like everybody's a fucking flag waving lunatic, or they're standing in a balaclava, or they're just maniacs.
Yeah.
So I was like, is this just the same thing, you know, on the other side? So I went down to see it for myself anyway, and no, they're mad. Like there was this guy, and he looked like if you drew a Brexiteer, like in his 60s or 70s, well fed, completely red face,
yeah,
like tweed, the whole thing. And he was holding a sign that said Brexit, Brexit at all cost, right? And I was like, I just went up to him and I was like, man, Brexit, when you say, I was like, I'm not trying to wind you up. I am just trying to understand. When you say at all cost, like, do you mean at all cost? He was like, yep, get it done. I was like, right, but like, maybe, what if, I was like, hypothetically, what if everyone's right and, you know, the health system's destroyed, America comes in and ruins everything, the economy's fucked, you know, housing tries the whole thing. What if that's true? And he goes, Brexit means Brexit. That was it. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, I couldn't understand. And I asked him so many times, there was a cop beside him and the cop just started laughing. And I was like, man, am I pissing into the wind here? And the cop was like, you just need to leave.
Yeah.
I was like,
this is
beginning to look like one. I was going red. I was
like,
no, at all costs. It doesn't make any sense. Nothing at all costs. Like,
but two of my favorite things. One of the ones that came out of that was the couple on Channel 4 News who had flown home from their retirement in Marbella to vote for Brexit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And number two, it's that you taught me that at all cost. That's the funniest protest photo I've ever seen since. Do you remember years ago, the GAA let the IRFU put rugby in Crow Park?
Yeah.
So one of the things with the GAA was like no foreign sports on GAA grounds.
Yeah.
So there was a protest outside Crow Park, and one of the funniest things I've ever seen was a guy who had a sign that said foreign sports not welcome in Crow Park, and he was wearing a Celtic top.
Yeah. Oh, it's so nuts.
And I'm like, think about that. If Celtic were coming here, you'd fucking let them in.
Yeah. Oh, they'd love it.
Yeah.
They should be here. Yeah. They should be playing their home games here. Yeah. Fuck's sake.
Like, lads, think about this.
Yeah, fundamentalists, man. They're fucking nuts.
They're always good fun. Do you, like, I know you said you've only got a few bits and pieces back at home because you've been so busy in London, but do you, like, I mean, you're going to do the Empire tonight. Will you have a bit more fun? Will you talk about home a wee bit more? Is it nice to get back and go, fuck you, understand what I say?
Oh, man,
when
I
say
can't
this.
Wait. Yeah, I can't wait.
You've been talking about winning straight scratch cards in O'Meath and fucking the Angelus.
I was doing, yeah, the Angelus and the Call to Prayer. I mean, there's no way that hasn't been talked about before, but that was me and the missus talk about that a lot. But like, even recently, I was doing this thing at the So Theatre, which is kind of like lots of comedy shows go there, but it's also full of kind of a theatre crowd, and it's all very beard strokey. I see what you're getting at there.
But I mean, you have a beard, so
yeah. Lots of like round spectacles, and I did this thing, like, you know, I was basically getting feedback from a director guy, and I did a couple of jokes about here, and he sat back and he goes, John, do you worry that people here will think that you're maybe very pro-IRA, and maybe some people in the audience's uncles might have had their legs blown off in a bomb? And I was like, your uncle has had his legs blown off, has he? I was like, this is... It's so loaded with some people there.
Yeah.
Where you're like, fuck, and it can't all be grim. We have to be able to have the lightness of it as well. So I'm looking forward to that. Even last night in Dublin was like, they were like, I was able to chat with stuff. They were going for it. And I was like, oh, it's so nice.
Yeah. I get down there in the Dublin and I say stuff like, I'm Darren from the north. Remember us?
Yeah. Well, I was like, I'm here as part of a new Sinn Féin government amendment.
Yeah.
That every entertainment show has to have a Northern Irish person on it.
Yeah.
So this is what you're going
to
sound like.
See, if the Shinners really sent you, that would be, they have to have a person from the north of Ireland.
Yeah.
You can't be wording it like that, they'll shoot.
That's right. I've seen all that stuff recently.
It's brilliant.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Every time I get a news update, I'm just looking at it. I'm like, oh, every time I think about coming home. Because I do think about, I don't know what we're going to do. Like, Jen and I are kind of thinking about what to do next. But I do want to do more here. I do definitely want to get like some sort of approval. I'd be able to do shows here on my own. But then you see stuff like that, I'm just like, can you fucking clever, just relax, like,
yeah,
for fuck's sake.
I think it's the it's that one where fuck me, let's move forward, but it, let's keep the comedy or the fun of that.
Yeah,
let's, because I mean, I go over when I was in England as well, I would dial that stuff up, but for the I base it on a thing where it's not that it's ongoing, it's how fucking ridiculous it was in the first place.
Right.
So you know what I mean? Like a guy heckled me in Blackpool, I said my name and said where I was from, and straight away a guy just went, "Don't be bumming while you're here." And I said, "Have you seen Blackpool, sir? It looks like somebody's beaten me to it."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Shut the fuck up, I'll do those jokes, okay?"
Well, I take a different tack, because I would sometimes ask them, what's it like being the bad guy?
Yeah.
We don't know. And that is a real room splitter.
Yeah.
That is like, oh God.
But that's again, if you're saying, if people who don't understand their own history, they're like, why? What does he mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just mean stuff, guys, like the city of Glasgow was built by slaves. You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Nobody? Man, okay.
I lived with this girl once a couple of years ago, and her parents were home. Her parents were quite, like, well-off family from Kent. Very nice, very posh. Yeah. So Kent, lovely. We're all white here.
Hmm.
And we were talking about the trouble or something, and the girl's mom goes, but John, you could never understand how scary it was for us living here, like not knowing if something was going to happen. And I was like, oh yeah, I could never understand that, fuck's sake. I was just like, oh my god, I was just holding my breath and hoping I passed out.
I was like, I went to primary school in Bessbrook, we had to drive through a checkpoint to go to school.
Yeah,
shut your fucking mouth.
My friend's school was bombed. His primary school was bombed in Clog, not Clog, up by the Belfast Road. They were trying to blow up some sort of passing soldiers,
yeah,
and they planted it in the wall of a school.
Fair enough.
Like, that's like, yeah, no, I have no idea what you're talking about in leafy suburban Kent.
I can imagine them setting the clock going, wait, PM or AM? What time does school start?
Yeah.
We did actually, St. Joe's in Bessbrook, where I went to primary school.
Yeah.
Years ago, they shot a mortar bomb at the police station from the top of the hill.
Oh yeah.
Missed. It landed in the car park at the back and blew out all of the windows in the gardens, which is the housing estate behind the police station, and all of the windows in the Catholic school on the hill. I was like, that's how we'll get rid of them. What?
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, we need to think this plan through, because yeah. I don't know. It's back to the drawing board here. Like,
I know, it's like this week where two members of Sinn Féin were sent death threats by dissident Republicans for attending a police recruitment event.
Yeah. We're through the looking glass.
I'm like, lads.
You know, Will.
It's like they're not hardline enough anymore.
Man, I was there. Harry left the royal family and Come Out You Black and Tans was number one in the charts in the UK.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is, what is happening here? Like, it's like, does this mean we've won? Like, is yeah. this, are the troubles over? Like, I was thinking about it, I was like, everyone here is worried about the flags. Like, I think if we wait long enough, it'll be a tricolour flying above Buckingham Palace.
Yeah, yeah. Because
they're really starting to self-hate.
Yeah, like, they're going to eat themselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was like, people were more outraged by Harry leaving the royal family than they were that Prince Andrew was a fucking pedophile.
Well, they're not outraged about Harry leaving the royal family. They're outraged that a mixed race woman got into the royal family and took one out.
Raised Catholic as well.
Yeah. They don't like that shit.
They don't like that. Tony Blair had to wait until he had left office to convert to Catholicism.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't like that at all. There's some hilarious rumors that fly around about those guys. Like,
yeah.
And everyone that you hear makes her out to be a total bitch. And it's like, yeah, this guy's Teflon, do you know what I mean? Nothing sticks to him. Like,
yeah, you're like, lads, I've had a mental girlfriend. If you need to leave, just leave. You don't need to leave your entire family to shut her up.
Yeah, but
just go, wait a minute, you're the problem.
Maybe you do. Maybe sometimes leaving your entire family, that is the correct move.
Yeah. But then obviously the main rumour that has followed him all his life is that he wasn't a royal anyway, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Don't even look alike.
Yeah. Yep, I think...
Like, if you put me beside my brothers, you're just like, ah, they're fucking related dead boys.
Yeah, but that's them big Irish bud genes, like...
I know, but even, like, one of my brothers, so there's two redheads in the family, two older boys, and then me, and then there's a wee fucking dark-haired bastard. So obviously we used to slag the fuck on him. I was like, this is the only time in history the ginger kids will pick on the non-blonde one. Because otherwise get the dark hair. But yet again, when you look at us, it's this little strip here. Is identical. See the eyes and the nose.
Like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle mask.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we all four of us in different colours. That's where you can tell we're all related. So yeah. It's that where you look at the royal family and you're like, vacant stir, Nazi sympathizer.
Yeah.
Alleged pedophile. You're just like, Jesus Christ.
Alleged.
I actually got in trouble one time because I was sort of just doing a joke. I think it was like Balmina. And somebody asked me, somebody just shouted out, was just like, what about the Queen? And I goes, I didn't vote for her.
Yeah, I would just say she seems lovely.
Yeah,
yeah. So her fault, her husband's a fucking racist and her son's a pedo.
Yeah, I love the one of her. What was it? Somebody put up about her Christmas speech this year was her telling it's obviously with the Brexit thing, saying times are going to be tight. It's just a time to band together, and she did it sitting in front of a gold-plated piano.
A gold-plated piano. Yeah. Oh my god.
Lizzie, sit beside the fire and make it look cheap.
Matt, did you see the
maybe
thing?
Maybe in a dressing gown, and we'll fucking listen to you a bit more.
Did you see the thing come out yesterday? That the Queen is, her crown is so heavy she can't wear it anymore because she's afraid it would like break her neck if she like looked down
properly.
Yeah, like that is from the palace, like that was in the news yesterday. That's how much fucking gold and shit is in that crown.
That's them fucking foreigners again, because that's definitely jewels from India and gold from Africa.
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Trying to kill the Queen.
Oh, it's funny, they're freaking out about having to give back the Elgin marbles.
Oh yeah.
Because the EU are saying that's going to be part of the talks for the thing. They've just not thought them through. It's amazing.
I love it. Just empty the British Museum in London and give back all of the stuff.
Yeah. Oh, every museum then's fucked.
Exactly. But there's people in Egypt going, yeah, give us that guy back.
Yeah.
He's in books.
He's in books. Okay.
Yeah, he's famous over here. It's like whenever years ago when they had to fucking dig up O'Donovan Russell and bring him back and rebury him in Ireland. Like, he's home. Where the fuck was he?
Yeah. All right.
It's like Roger. Didn't they do that with Roger Casement as well? Because he was hung in Pentonville in London. Had to dig him up and bring him back over to fucking Ireland to bury him in Glasnevin in Dublin.
Fuck's sake.
They're like, can we have him back? And you're like, but he's English. Give us the fucking guy.
Yeah, give it back. Ask him. He wouldn't have said that.
You're like, mate, we have a fucking football stadium in Belfast named after him. Yeah. Give him back.
Give him back, but put him in Dublin. Man, what's the scene like here now? Because it seems to have blown up, the comedy scene, since I left.
It's great. We're in a lovely purple patch, and it's the work now to maintain that. So, like, good solid clubs that have audiences going to them now. So I mean, it's moving. We're trying to get it out of Belfast a bit more, so it's a bit more regional, and it's not. The thing with like the rural gigs or getting out of Belfast, the big smoke and all that bollocks, is just training the audiences.
Yeah.
Like, lads, this is going to be a rough gig for a month or two until these people fucking figure this out.
Yeah.
And then it's grand. And they're lovely. Like, the people that come to McCooey's, we have pretty much nearly different people. I'd say we have probably about 10 or 15 people who will come every month. And I know about, I'm related to most of them.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But the people that are rotating through, and then nobody gets bored of it. People go, I go to like 4 a year, but we've got 12 shows.
Yeah.
They're always great. So we've got that now, and thankfully that's Leanne's help as well with her brilliant social media reach.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll provide the goods, buddy. You wrap it up and make it look nice.
Yeah.
And then the show happens and people are like, oh, this is fucking good night.
It's such a nice space as well. When I was in there the other day, I was saying it was very like New York. Like, there's a lot of gigs in New York and like coffee shops and stuff.
Yeah, that's where it
brings a different vibe.
George Carlin came from that, like the coffee shop scene where the people would just get fucking stoned and drink tea.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, you can bring a carrier because it's new.
And you get free pizza.
And you get free pizza at halftime. We're basically bribing people into laughing, but it's good.
Oh, one of the worst gigs I ever did was in Newry many years ago in the Magnet, as you were talking about the Magnet earlier. I was terrible.
Where I learned to play drums. You did a comedy gig there?
Yeah.
For a load of teenagers?
What do you call him? Conor McGinley set it up. And I was so new. I had no idea what to do. And also, I used to do martial arts and was incredibly wound up and tense. So there was these guys who were fucking everyone, all the other acts off, because there was a pool table at the back of the thing, and so they obviously didn't cover that when there was a gig on, because why would you? It's not like people are speaking. And these lads were timing it so that whenever somebody was about to hit a punchline, they would smash the balls and just ruin it. But because everyone was kind of new on the gig, nobody would say anything because everyone was like kind of afraid to say anything.
Yeah.
And I think I was maybe third or fourth on, by which point I was ready to rip everybody's head off in the place. And went up And before I'd even started a joke, I just said to these guys, if you touch that fucking pool cue, I'm going to wrap it around your neck. There's no joke there.
No.
And immediately alienated everybody in the gig. And I was like, I don't think I should be here.
Like, if we don't laugh at this, is he going to also wrap a pool cue around?
Yeah, a complete maniac. Like, yeah. Oh my God, I had no business being there at all. But that was a terrible gig.
Well, we'll have to bring you... We're going to bring you back to Newry at some point. We'll get you over for a weekend and we can do... You can do McCooey's and then come up here for Sunday.
Yeah.
At least it's worth the spin. You can crash here and all that. It'll be lovely.
Yeah, be lovely.
I'll be like, look, we're back. It's okay. Everybody's all right.
Well, I was saying to you before, like, I did Dave Elliott's gig at Pug Ugly's there in, like, December, I think it was. And it was unreal. It was such a good gig. It was real comedy savvy. Everyone was lovely. Everybody at the end was like, what's your social media? Boom, get you on. And that is... Like, you just don't get that in a lot of places. It was eye-opening for me.
Yeah, like, I do that when I'm MCing and I'm plugging people. I will be like on Sunday in the Sunflower, we had like Luke McGibbon, who runs the Pavilion.
Oh, yeah,
we had Peter Davidson, who runs the Brickworks up in Derry. Yeah. Fucking another smasher gig. Rory McSwiggan runs the Chicken Box Comedy, which is like an open mic in Bennigan's, another bar in Derry, which is great because I'm like, well, you guys are a big enough town, you should have one gig.
And really young population with the university and everything.
Exactly, yeah. There's no reason that shouldn't fly. So their gigs are good. So when I had them up, the guys would get up and do their bit, and I'm like, if you like that stuff, I goes, go check out their gig. You'll find them on here, on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. I'm one of the things about actively telling people is to build a community. You need to fucking get everybody the leg up.
Yeah.
There's no point climbing up to the top of the hill and going, I'm going to pull the ladder up here. Like, no, it's a flat top.
A rising tide lifts all boats. I absolutely believe that, yeah.
You're like, it's one person doing well is no good for comedy.
No.
Because people are like, well, I'm not going to that comedy gig because he's not on or she's not on.
Yeah.
But there are better acts. One of the things as well that... I mean, it's brilliant that we have such good stuff over here and people are getting followings and doing well. Guys are making appearances on TV and blah, blah, blah. One of the things I've noticed, and I want to cover this before we go, because it's nice to talk to another fucking comic about this. Have you ever seen so many fucking amazing comedians that you've gigged with who will never get near TV?
Man, my favourite comedian, and this guy's, if you're listening to this and you want to look up somebody who is unbelievable, is a guy called Jeff Innocent. Do you know Jeff Innocent?
No.
Jeff Innocent is 60 and is like, there's a comedians comedian UK vote thing. Jeff Innocent voted best comedian UK by comedians. He is unbelievable, an absolute destroyer, and he will never be on TV because they just don't want a 60-year-old guy. He's got a skin head, he looks like a pirate, he's got like big hoop earrings, wears Adidas tracksuits. He's hilarious. He put up a clip last week of a gig he did at Hot Water. It got 1.5 million views. Like, and he's got no profile. Like, he is the best comedian that I've seen live. Like, you can't imagine laughing. His stuff's so good. And yeah, you see those guys and you're just like, it's horrible. But it's the age. There is kind of an age bias, especially in the UK over there, where like I was talking to a company about potentially doing a show, and it got to the point where it was like, oh, this sounds really good. Let's go to the commissioners. What age are you, John? And I was like 35. And you could literally see the woman go, oh, she was like, she was real. I mean, she was very straightforward. She was like, look, I have to be honest. Like, this channel is, we want 18 to 22 year olds. So we need to figure out how to mold you to that. Or like, this might not happen.
And we were like, it's going to be really hard to explain that if you want somebody who's fucking tight and show ready at that age, they're going to have started when they're fucking 16.
Yeah. There is people who start when they're 16 over there. That perfectly mad.
I know.
But, yeah, so it's a difficult one. I've also had people like, it sounds like I'm just griping about it, but like, I did a gig once at the end of TV Producer comes up and she goes, oh my God, it was amazing, it was brilliant, we need to figure out, like, what's your thing, what can we do, you know, who are you?
And I was like, fuck off.
No, I goes, I don't know, I just try and be funny. And she goes, you could be the funny guy. And I was like, you're a fucking comedy producer.
Yeah.
And you're saying I could be the funny guy. What? Like, anyway, but yeah, those guys. But it gives me headaches that Jeff Innocent is in an arena. It's like, I think he's also the nicest man and terrifying. But like, He's just so good. Him, I would say.
It's not even like I can pinpoint an individual person, but I've done gigs with people and just be like, that guy's fucking killing it there, and no one's ever heard of him.
Yeah.
But the other thing about the UK being so big is that there are guys over there who can make a living as club comics and don't give a fuck if you don't know who they are.
Well, Jeff doesn't give a fuck. Like, I was chatting to him last week. He was saying he's writing a show, but he just, you know, he's never short of bookings. Like, he just goes on, destroys gigs, and leaves. Like, but it would drive you mad thinking of, like, looking at stuff where you're like, how is that person not absolutely huge? But then there's the flip side of, like, you see some young people and you're like, oh my god, put that person on TV right now. Like,
they fit what will or what should be on TV or what people want on TV.
Or they're just brilliant. So, like, not even that. There is that where you're like, oh, that's TV. Like, you can put that on TV. That's TV ready. But there's, like, I seen a girl recently. She was an American, actually. She was in London doing some gigs. Ali Makovsky. She's like 19, 20. And she was so funny. Like, she was so good. You're like, yeah, like, she should be doing the biggest shows. And then I found out afterwards she was supporting Joe Rogan in arenas and stuff. So I was like, all right, okay. Well, that makes sense. But, yeah, like,
she does not need me telling my four friends that she's really good.
Yeah. Same, but I still tell everyone. I'm like, yeah, fucking Ali, go check her out. And again, lovely. But you get a lot of people who will also write to TV. It's like you were saying earlier that, you know, a lot of people in Dublin, you feel like sometimes they're writing towards getting an RTE. In London, you will see people who are writing towards, like, can I get a 10 minutes somewhere on TV? Like, this is just hits a middle of the road, completely inoffensive, completely, like, you probably pre-watershed. It won't blow you away. It won't turn you off. And it's just a hum, just a mid hum. And you're like, that, they don't, you know, they're not blown away, but they'll be on TV probably in 2 years.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. I can't do that, but
I mean, it's probably strange over here because, well, I enjoy performing and I like running my two gigs. And like you, I mean, at this point, I'm a 34-year-old white straight dude. Plenty of those fucking kicking about, like, so.
Yeah.
There's no panicking.
Yeah.
Lots of TV shows. So
it's funny that, man. I would say it's definitely a thing, but I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. Like, I would be fairly pro getting, like, making stuff more diverse, depending on where you are. Like, it's easy in London to have that. But I never really thought, let me fucking get my words out. Like, stomp back like a fucking dickhead, like a stuttering prick. So,
stop sounding like a Brexiteer here. Come on.
Stop sounding like a Brexiteer. So I was completely like, no, funny. It only should be funny. It doesn't matter what the fuck color you are, whatever. It doesn't matter. You should be just funny, whatever. And then a friend of mine, who's called Callie Beaton, a really funny comedian, she got on QI. Now, Callie has got no profile at all. She got on QI because they have to have a woman on the panel, and the three women that they normally have must have been fucking sick or gigging elsewhere or whatever. So Callie just got a chance through luck. Someone was seeing her. And she smashed it out of the park. And I was like, she should be in that. She should be in it every week. And I was like, she would have never got that decision, or she would have never got the job if that diversity quota wasn't there, because they would just give it to the next fucking white guy who walked into the room.
Yeah.
And I do think the downside of it is, sometimes people get a shot before they're ready and it ruins them. So I do know, like, I know a couple of like fucking black guys, Asian guys and stuff that have been on TV before they were ready to be on TV. And it's probably put them back a few years rather than boosted them. But I just feel like somebody's watching that. Like, someone who is black, who's 14, is watching and going, okay, well, that's shit, but I can be better than that. Like,
so, if I get on, I can do this.
Yeah. And the other thing is that white guy thing is, loads of them fucking sound the same. Man, if you have to listen to one more middle class English guy talking about fucking cats, I would drive his head through a wall. Like, that's what it is. It's like, they sound the same. Like, there isn't a diversity of opinion. I don't give a fuck what color they are. They're not, like, they hit that low hum. They just hit this low hum and nobody cares. And then a fucking chick comes up and blows them away, and she'll get a job, and five white guys will be going, that's because I'm not, that's because I'm fucking white. And it's like, nah, be undeniable. Like, just get so good that they can't not get you on.
Yeah.
It will happen, but it's harder, but it's fucking meant to be hard.
I'm glad you said middle class and not middle age, because I was like, fuck you, I said 34.
No, I'm older than you, man. Yeah. But yeah, no, it is a thing, but I think we can all probably work harder, and you know,
absolutely.
So it's like, I've got friends who fucking say the same thing, and they complain so much, and it's like, man, if you spent half the time writing jokes as you do fucking complaining about not getting TV shows, you'd be much further ahead, like, and nicer to be around.
I think one of the main points is as well is if you started comedy and before your first gig went, I'm gonna do this so I can get a TV show, you're never getting a fucking TV show, man. If your first thought wasn't, I have written a joke and I want to tell it to somebody, that's what should be your initial. I like making people laugh. I like entertaining. I like talking to people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There should be some sort of innocence in it, and then comedy will eventually fucking twist you into the hate-filled ball that you are.
Although, in fairness, I remember doing, it must have been my second gig, and I did the Pavilion, Luke McGiven's gig, and I remember being on stage and going, this is going so well. I have reinvented the art form. I am the fucking next George Carlin, Dave Chappelle rolled into one. This is unreal. I was just hearing like, rah, rah. I was like, this is easy. This is easy. Take me to the Apollo. And then I got the bus back home and I listened to it. And it was the fucking biggest load of shit that I've ever heard in my whole life. And no one was laughing.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, right. Maybe I should do a bit more work here.
Yeah, my fantasy has outstripped my fucking ability.
Yeah, oh.
No, well, I mean, the main thing is, well, is people are just like, I want to do comedy. I'm a comedian. I want to be a comedian forever. I want to be full-time comedy. I have this sneaky thing where my main love in life is travel, and comedy facilitates what I do.
I am exactly the same. And now, for the next year, I'm putting real effort to try and get away. That's what I want.
I do feel a bit bad sometimes, because sometimes when people are like, fucking comedy's their life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just kind of use it for a wee free bit of backpacking. And they're fucking hate me.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm not trying to say what you're doing is wrong, but I'm just saying this is what works for me and stops me hating the art form.
Do you know Tom Rhodes? Have you seen Tom Rhodes? Mm-hmm. He's an American guy. He was like, he's been around, like, he's a like real headliner. He's been around forever. It was Mitch Hedberg's best mate, Gigwa Hicks, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And he, for something like maybe 20 years, didn't have an address. He just traveled the world and did gigs everywhere, him and his missus.
Amazing.
No. It ended up costing him his marriage, a fucking, you know, but like...
His sanity.
Yeah, his sanity. He released a great album, I think it's called Around the World. It's worth listening to, where each track is him in a different city. And there's like 25 tracks on it. It's cool. But yeah, I always looked at him and was like, that's fucking, that's the life. And then I talked to him and he was like, yeah, man, well, it actually cost me pretty much everything. So I'm maybe going to have an address now.
And you're like, yeah, I'm a bit selfish about these kind of things.
No, it's like, yeah, it's easy. You know, when you're young, and I don't even think I was with my missus at the time. So I was like, this is it, man, on the road. And then.
The realities of the road, I mean, doing gigs in whole cities, from my walk onto a stage until I either introduce the next person or walk off the stage, fuck, I love comedy. Everything else is nonsense.
Yeah.
See, this is nice, this is like a wee therapy that we're just gonna, this is a therapy session that we're gonna let other people listen to.
Yeah.
I like this, I like talking to other comics, but sometimes all the other bullshit I'm just not arsed with. And it gets worse when you go to bigger places because there's more people doing it.
Yeah.
More people have invested stuff. So here is nice like that because we all know each other.
Yeah.
And it's like, going for a pint? Aye, fuck it. And well, as long as the gig's good, we're happy.
Well, that's one thing about London. I know we're pressing for time here, but one thing about London is when you meet someone at a gig, you meet a comedian at a gig who's sound, it's like finding your old friend that you've not seen in years. So I remember I did a gig at Backyard and... there was a guy called Rich Wilson on, who's another fucking brilliant comedian, and he was a really cool guy. I hadn't met him before, and I just said hello, and as we were standing at the back wall, you know, just ignoring each other, this fucking drunk idiot came up and started slobbering, and then eventually I was like, hey man, get the fuck out of my face, like, get the fuck out of here. And then so he fucks off, and Rich turned around and was like, oh my god, you're normal. He was like, yes, was like, yes. He's like, I was afraid you were one of those weird comedians that don't fucking, like, have got no password. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And he was like, so, it was so nice. You're just like, oh, yeah. I thought it was a friend.
Yeah. Like, he, like, that guy, you were just going to let that guy stand there and slobber on you if he was saying nice things to you. You're like, tell that guy to go away.
Nah, just get him the fuck out of here. It doesn't matter. Like, good or bad, it doesn't matter. Get the fuck away from me. Like,
you're a mess. Go away.
Stop touching me. Yeah. I hate that. Stop fucking touching me.
One of my main things is, and I'll see if I can get a bit of agreement with you before I go, and this was actually, I sort of didn't mean it the way it came out, but it was printed in an interview.
Oh God, it's racist, isn't it?
It's not racist at all. Well, it's racist if you're from fucking Newry. I basically said, somebody said, I'll walk at you in the comedy, and I said, well, where I come from, if you didn't laugh, you'd fucking cry.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I have this great affinity with where I'm from, where I couldn't wait to get out of it. But now I don't live there. I'm like, I want to put something into the place.
Yeah.
So nobody else has that fucking upbringing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, here's a comedy club. Like, I used to run gigs in bands because people my age went to the fucking Radic nightclub.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why don't we have a somewhere, like, we all listen to fucking rock music. Why are we going to a nightclub on the weekend? Why don't we find a room that lets us hang out in that space?
Yeah.
And put on music we want to listen to. So I've done this as a fucking DJ. I've played in bands. I'm doing comedy. So it's that sort of weird thing. Did you have this weird thing when you were growing up? And me and Leanne have talked about this fucking ad nauseum. People say, oh, shit here. And you're like, right, here's something. I'm not going to that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, well, fuck you then. You're the reason this is shit. Well, so I'm like, it's your fault it's shit. Because everything is shit to you. You're not willing to give anything a chance. You're killing me here.
Yeah. I mean, not to get too fucking serious about it, but I will. Yeah, I do agree totally. And I just think it's because this place is fucking completely full of post-traumatic stress.
Yeah.
And nobody knows how to feel about anything. And the idea of going out to watch anything is so alien that it's, you're right, it's like training the audience again. But it's interesting. Like, I used to be quite resentful of how... I presumably yourself ever grew up like that area at that time was fucking grim. Like, it just feel like in my memory everything has got a grey filter on it, and I was like, recently I was like, is that like, it can't be as bad. And I found an army promo video, and it was a platoon going on patrol in Newry in 1988, and it was exactly how I remembered it. It was fucking grey. So, what did I say? Yeah. It was negative, and I was like, oh shit, that was shit. Until I went to dinner with friends of mine who lived like outside Newry in like a nice place, and they were a nice family, middle class, and they had everything that I was like, this is what growing up is meant to be. And we went to dinner, and I've never been more bored in my whole fucking life. Like, nobody had anything to say. Nobody was interested. There was nothing interesting. And that was a real light switch for me, where I came out and I was like, fuck, like, growing up was tough, but everybody's kind of interested. Like, even the maddest person that you meet, or the most boring cunt you'll know, they'll have something about them on that. Anyone who grew up in that area, they'll have something. There'll be a spark somewhere that you can find. But yeah, fuck, I don't know about getting them to gigs, like.
Getting them to gigs is okay. Yeah. And one of the brilliant things is when you're MCing and you start talking to somebody, they're usually brilliant. They're just kind of the most random of stuff.
Oh man, it's funny. Like, people ask superb. Me. It does. People have asked me like, what are Irish people like when you're gigging, like English people? And I'm like, well, here's the thing. Most of them will think they're funnier than you, and most of them will probably be right.
Yeah.
Like,
I said, starting in Belfast was brilliant training, because you can guarantee you could go into a room and be like, I'm a comedian, and the barman might be funnier than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you just haven't sat and talked to him.
Yeah.
That's it. So, but then you say you go over and you do gigs in that place and you're like, fuck, you're all dull.
Yeah.
And come on, guys, this is comedy.
Go with then me. You're they're paying you because they're dull.
Yeah.
Like, they can't tell a joke or story. So they're like, we need to fly someone in for this because we're boring as fuck and I don't want to talk to my wife anymore.
Yeah, find me an Irishman. I want to laugh, and also that bathroom needs tiled.
Yeah. Yeah. Not anymore. Brexit means Brexit.
Oh, Jesus. When are you back over? So you're doing Empire tonight?
So in the Empire tonight, then I'm in Dublin tomorrow and Thursday, and then Vicar Street on Friday. And then I've got the weekend off and fly home and or fly back to London Sunday night then.
So Saturday and Sunday is just hang with the family, Sunday dinner, and then on the plane.
Done the family. Me and the missus are going to come up here. Actually, we're going to stay probably in Belfast and have a night out. She's been through Belfast, did the bus tour of Belfast, which is amazing. With a Middle Eastern woman who you think like they've seen some shit, man. We drove through the village on the bus tour. Jenna was like, never fucking take me back here again. She was like, you've got paintings on the side of walls with gunmen. What is this place? And I was like, yeah, this is it. This is it. Do you know your peace walls where you grew up? Yeah, they're based on this. She was like, this is fucking mad. So I want to go for a night out just so she sees that it's not all bad. Although we went to the Spaniard when we were here.
Oh, nice
pub. I was like, oh, lovely pub. Let's go in there. We go in there. Jenna walks in. We're in there, dude. And she stands out. Like, she's taller than me. She's like a big, she's beautiful, fucking Middle Eastern, mad, black, curly hair. Like, would wear pretty out there clothes. And she walks in. She goes, wow. And the barman goes, oh, for fuck's sake. You can hear him. She goes, wow. And he goes, ah, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
And she took a photo. She was like, couldn't get over. She took a photo. And in the photo, the barman is literally standing with his hands over his eyes, like, just, I can't deal with these fucking tourists. I was like, there's that famous welcome.
Yeah, it's like, I love the money you bring in here, but if you could not talk, that'd be great.
Yeah, if you could fuck up. Yeah.
Just buy your drink and sit far away, will you?
Yeah.
But you can't because the Spaniard's standing.
No, that's it, yeah.
No, definitely get her for a night out in Belfast. It's actually a really nice city to go out to.
I've always loved going out here.
Which is why when I moved home, the last place we were backpacking Southeast Asia, I came home, I lasted 2 weeks in the brook and was like, I'm going back to Belfast.
Yeah. It's fun. Yeah, that going home thing's interesting. Like, I think if you have kids, I was chatting to a friend of mine who's got a couple of kids and he had lived in Belfast and he was like, look, I've got two kids. We go to Newry and our ones can look after them. And it is a good place now for kids to grow up because there's shit to do. But yeah, if you're not that, you want to be here, I think.
Which is why when you were a kid, you were learning martial arts to fucking defend yourself.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I had to become a fucking, like a world competitor just to get out of Derry Beg. I had to be a bronze medalist in the European Championships just to fucking get to school without getting murdered every day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I'm out of here. Where are you going? I don't know, but I have to fight some lad even when I fucking get there.
Yeah. No, I don't know, but I know that I've had to train for 40 hours this week. Like, that's what I know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's still two fuckers back.
Yeah, and you're like, and this is not a, it's not sure, it's not a sure thing. Yeah, it's not a sure thing.
You're like, I mean, I can probably take anybody in the area back, but there's some Greek lad and fuck, apparently his feet are lighted.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I probably can't take everyone to Derry Beg. Yeah. Those guys who are just fucking, they don't know when they're beat. You know? They're like, oh my God, there's really so much. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah. I can warn him that my hands are registered to lethal weapons, but he will have an actual
lethal weapon. Man, I wasn't fucking warning anybody.
Yeah.
That was no way.
You're like, I go to the sports center, put on my wig, jammies, fuck off.
That's it. While you're warning someone, they're putting a fucking boot in your head. Like, yeah, no chance.
I will leave you with the most Newry thing ever, was obviously it came from a fucking tragedy. So I landed down on Saturday to do the gig.
Yeah.
And I walked in through the door. So I'd worked in Belfast that day and drove down, and so I hadn't heard any local news, nothing at all.
Yeah.
And I walked into McCooey's to do the gig and I went, all right, folks, who's ready for some comedy? And Leanne's mommy just turned around and went, who's the MTP from Bestbury killed in the car crash?
Yeah. Fuck's sake.
And I was like, good to be home.
Yes.
Let's think of something fucking funny to say.
Here, can we talk about it loads?
Yeah.
Can we talk about, and do you know who else is
And you sick? Think that's bad, that weather's brutal.
Oh, and do you know, and then the voice gets real drunk. And do you know who else isn't well as well is your one up there now, and her cousin wasn't well. Oh my God. We had to stop my dad in his tracks when we were getting lunch the other day. And it was exactly that. It was the same thing. Like, oh yeah, and they're killed. And isn't he that one? I was like, you have to stop that. That's you have to stop.
The negativity.
Can't let it in.
But I was saying about that where I was like, fuck me. I was like, I'm only back. I live 40 minutes away. And that's the difference of tone.
Yeah.
But I get in and I remember that whole thing where I used to be mystified when I was growing up. I was like, how can this possibly be a growing population? Because no one's ever like, did you had a baby? It's always like, see who's dead. I'm like, how the fuck's anybody left?
Unless their baby was sick, and that's the sweet spot.
Oh my, for the
tragic.
For the misery.
Oh, the more tragic, the better.
Oh
yeah.
Jesus Christ! But yeah, I had that where I actually, when I lived abroad, it happened more than once. I hung up on Skype on my mother.
Oh yeah.
Because she started just doing the bad news, and I was like, Brenda, just go get the Irish News and read me the list of the dead, will you? And she went, hang on, and I just hung up.
Oh, fuck.
She was going to go tell me he was dead.
Yesterday, I went to the swimming pool in Uri, and I was like, going to saw on steam, wake up, what a great day.
Lovely.
And go in there, this woman comes in, swear to God, didn't say hello, didn't say anything, goes, everyone's mental here, right? And I was like, what? Excuse me? She goes, everyone's mental here, aren't they, in this place? I can't believe this. And I was like, right, yeah. What are you talking about? Like, and she goes, my doctors are wankers. They won't do anything. I hate doctors. They're liars. They're lying about the truth. And I was like, what the fuck is happening here? Like, I was like, this is not the relaxing. And I was really triggered because I had a heart attack a couple of years ago. So I was like, I hate when people slag off doctors. So yeah. She was like, you know, but she was just expected. Because I think everyone just agrees here all the time with this. Nobody stops that negative shit. Whereas I was like, oh no, but you're not telling the truth. That's wrong what you're saying. Like, so I was like, yeah, well, I had this and like I'm still alive. So I think they're actually pretty good. And she goes, well, maybe if there's something like really wrong with you. But they were terrible with me. And I was like, well, stop going to the fucking doctor. There's nothing wrong. You are the problem.
Yeah.
Man. But that, just negative.
Was this in the midst of you relaxing in the stadium?
Yeah. It got to the point where I put my head in my hands and I cover my eyeballs with and then I also was reaching around and I was putting my thumbs or my fingers in my ear and then just pressing my eyes just like maybe I can die here and this will be how it ends. And when she left then there was another guy in there and he goes she's mad. He was like she goes to the pub. She used to go to the pub I worked in Kilkeel, and we had to get the IRA to throw her out. And I was like, what? Like, what is this place now?
Yeah.
And also, do they not have fucking other shit to be getting on with? Like, anyway, yeah.
And also, in Kilkeel, that, there's...
Yeah, there's, no, there's so much weird with that.
There's only 8 Catholics in Kilkeel.
Yeah. And it was weird. But yeah, that's Newry.
No, we will leave it at that, but I just... Folks, if you're listening to this and you're wondering why people like John and myself are the way we are, I can do an hour, 2.5 hours in this
movie. Oh yeah.
But I need a fucking cup of tea and we're going to stop this podcast now and I think maybe you might just have a hug.
Yeah. I'm crying out.
This has been fucking traumatic. Oh man. Right, before we go, John, where do we find you on the old online so we can, and if we're coming to London we'll give you a shout and
yeah, hit me up. They've got a nice couch. My name is, yeah, so it's J Maher Comedy, JMEAGHER Comedy. That's on Instagram, Twitter and all that shit.
All the one, very smart. I need to do that. It's a conglomerate of all them.
Slightly easier when you've got an unusual name, like, yeah.
Maybe so. I know, yeah. I couldn't do that with mine because Darren Matthews is actually the real name of former WWE wrestler William Regal from Blackpool. So
oh, yeah.
What a piece of shit. For being fucking famous 15 years before I was born. These things happen. So, J Maher Comedy,
Instagram.
On all the platforms.
Yeah, watch my baking. That's pretty much all I do on Instagram.
Fair enough.
That's it. Instagram, Twitter, boom.
Comes awesome. In. Guys, check out John's stuff. I'm trying to think of, will anyone have listened to this before? The Empire, if I put it up right now. Go to the Empire of the Night if you're about. In fact, just go to any local comedy gig you can see, especially one I'm running. I've got a mortgage now. Fucking help me. Okay.
Also, if you have friends in London, I'm putting a show on the Museum of Comedy on St. Patrick's Night, March 17th. And you know, I'm probably gonna fucking lose everything I have if nobody goes, so it would be great. Spread
no,
the word and
no
get
pressure.
People there. No, no pressure, but like, guys, I'm fucking eating pot noodles every night here. I'm doing it out of a bowl because I'm classy, but like
still a pot noodle.
It's still a pot noodle.
Did you not just hear it from Derry Beg?
Yeah.
Shot down that classy argument, didn't you? That's a private joke for the 4 people who know where Derry Beg is. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, thank you for listening to episode 21 of Darren Matthews and Sometimes Friends. If you enjoyed it, like, share, subscribe, tell your mates, tell your mum. We only said fuck a few times in that hour and a half there we did. And yeah, guys, check out John's stuff online. I'm on Darren Matthews Comedy if you want to check out mine, which I need to start uploading stuff. I have a load of tour photos that I just, I'm fucking lazy with.
Oh, so
we
yeah,
need to fix that. Guys, thank you very much for listening. John, do you want to say bye-bye?
Goodbye.